everyone. There was an evening, I had three candles. I had three candles. I held three candles. I had three candles and nothing more. I saw them burning. I saw night passing. There was a morning, I went to the water. I met you from the waves. Who brought you to me? There was a day, I carried a candlestick. The first candle was burning, it was silent, and then disappeared. My second candle lit something in an instant. For the third one, you told me you saw me three times. There was an evening, we had three candles. We had three candles. We held three candles. Three candles for two of us, and that's it. We saw in the mirrors one face. What else is waiting for us? Nobody would even know. The star fell down from the sky. It had been fallen as a sign. There were nights like this. We had three worlds. In the first, all is fire. Please go on shining. In the second, all is water, still carrying us. In the third, we are, and we guessed it all. In the third, we are, and we guessed it all. Thank you.
Thank you, Olha. Next up, we have Ro.
Realize I should put my full name on there. Hi, I'm Ron Rogers. And this is not only my first OVAIL, but my first live reading of anything. So thank you for being part of that. I guess I should say first off, I assume a lot of us are poets. We probably know what a whale fall is, but like basically when a whale dies, it falls to the bottom of the ocean and it can feed hundreds of animals down there for years on end. So this is kind of like a raised glass to that. This is called Prayer to Whale Fall. The heavenly body descends to a place where yesterday's light will not be seen by anything until at least 7 years from now. And lo, like in a vision of the Empyrean, all the wretches of the deep give thanks to their communion. O sweet devastation, come hither from a place where none need adapt to unknowable pressure and warmth is a given. May this never be the last time you fall. O blessed Leviathan, let the meek and starving find refuge in your ribcage until the marrow gives out and the soft tissue of the eyes can no longer support us and the ivory digests into calcium. O holiest of disasters, let no small morsel of this immaculate cataclysm go unwasted and unadored. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ro. Next up, we have Catherine Ronan.
Tonight is very special for me because I'm reading for the first time from my book. I'm going to dedicate this poem to Mary O'Connell. I wrote it for my two friends, Michelle and Moira, who died, but tonight it's for Mary O'Connell, and it's called Percolate. In my sleep, I fall into your grave, wake up in your coffin, lay next to your cold body, stir in the stiff satin of goodbye. Earth, shale, and an archaeologist's dream lowers us down to sea level. You teach me to open my mouth to rain as thirsty soil turns brown to black. With each small droplet, your smile seeds a new day.
Thanks, Catherine. And next we have Patricia Walsh.
Thank you. And this is called Trap Nerve. Needing a seat like any other, price already paid. The acrostic beginnings burgeon unwell. The rancid oasis beats to the sound of the universe. People wanting less to do with whole numbers. Wanting more food, expenditure allowing, watered down prize giving stripped out of the way, a turnover of friends meet and greet over snacks, burnt and activated, a felt contrived. Watching over rainfall, the height of fear, aware of what is done, guilty in paperback, mourning simple losses as if life depended, intercepted through sunlight, stranglehold overdone. Ripped clothing over wealth, perennial fashion, or is not understood, is recycled by the book. Popularity in mid-road, crushed in bed. More useless the better, impressing the singular. The criminal proceeding, high-wired jewellery, watch through competition, fingers and pies. Aggravated eyelashes, a punctitudinous mess, fed rubbish through the gills of a slaughtered burn. Scruffy out of love, criminal affection aside, fed every sort of theory at the going rate. Persecution laughably easy, turned into affability, not seen or fought for ever again.
Thanks, Patricia. We might go online to Zoom now. And welcome Jeff Cotterill to the open mic. Hey, Jeff.
All right. Yeah, here I am. So I'll do a relatively new one. This was just published in the Brownstone Poets Anthology this year, based in Brooklyn, New York. Yay! And it's called, Poets getting publicized and stuff. This is called Synchronicity 3, so inspired in part by the old Police song, Synchronicity 2. In the news today, we learn which new superhero movie we must see and why it's different from the other superhero movies and how it fits in with the superhero movie universe so we can imagine ourselves as superheroes. And also we learn how much money it made this week. Meanwhile, in Ukraine, a soldier blows up a bridge and himself to stop a column of Russian tanks from advancing. In the news today, we learn which famous people said something stupid and why we must cast those stupid people out of society like lepers and how we must erase their stupid names out of existence so we can bask in the glow of our moral purity. And also we learn what words we can't say anymore this week. Meanwhile, in Iran, a woman dies of mysterious head injuries after her arrest for refusing to wear a hijab. In the news today, we learn which celebrities are fucking which other celebrities, and which other celebrities are fucking which other celebrities, and which celebrities stopped fucking which other celebrities, so they can fuck completely different other celebrities. And also, we learn what dresses they're wearing this week. Meanwhile, all over the world, human intervention is sparking wildfires and pollution, but people still keep having babies. Thank you. That was Synchronicity 3.
Thanks, Jeff. Next up is Emer Gui. Emer Gui.
This is my first time out of Vail and my first time reading, and I think I might get sick. And it's also... I won't get sick on you. This is also kind of a rap and a little bit of singing. I hope it's allowed. And it's kind of about coming through some mental illness and seeing the light, mate. So... Okay. Thanks. Neil McGuagafos intact. Shaka's Kupla Foka Foka. This original rap is not about that, though. Not even about my flow, because it's deeper than that. It's so deep, in fact, it's on a cellular level. Disheveled self is 11 and looking in the mirror. Not even sure if she is still here, because it's not clear whether she's still on the shelf like one of Andy's toys or lost, completely irretrievable like Brandy's toys. Either way, she's in pain. Too many words on the brain left unsaid, because the mainstream makes his money from taking away all of these kids' dreams. These kids' dreams. These kids' dreams. Until one day it's all dark and then these kids scream. Maybe these kids bleed. Maybe these kids leave. It's shit. But that's just facts, unfortunately. Until one day they close their eyes and it's all dark inside their mind, until they don't know how to find what gets them up in the morning, taking pills with no warning. She believed that in the long run there's no room for such a burden, will not even take up space, her mind in a different place to her body, probably occupied by the influence of a different vice, judging herself through the other's eyes. I know this story too well. It does more than ring a bell. It's a reality I lived before I understood that life is a gift. And if you sift through the bullshit, I pray that you see it too. That things will happen for you and not to you. When you escape from your victim mentality, start to say, maybe I can be. Grieve the time that you lost, though bless the time for being exactly what you needed to make it to this meeting of the real self beneath the facade that was created to survive and make it through the dark times of your mind. But tell me, when will you exist in a space of love and bliss? Times are tough when the mind's in charge. Let your soul's light shine and enlarge your heart space. In the face of a sick society, it's a rebellious act to be who only you can be. Open your heart and see. Accept this opportunity to be free. Free, free, free.
Thank you.
Team agree, that was amazing. Okay. Next up on the open mic, we have Dor Harding.
I think it's great that so many people have come up here for the first time tonight. I came up for the first time a long time ago with the man over there with the ponytail. I think we're all hurt by what's happening out in Gaza and Palestine and all that. I don't watch much television except the 6 o'clock news, and sickens me, especially what's happening in my own country. At least once a week, there's some serious case of abuse of children in a family, and I know for a fact that it's happening right now in Cork Courthouse. There's a case going on. This poem was published in my first book in 2011, and it's called Pedophile. I heard that. Pedophile, may you burn at the stake of tender sticks, wafted slightly by a still furious breeze, very slowly consuming your feet and calves. You're screaming loud before it hits the knees. The tender child screamed before those flames. The heart is dying, but the rage is raging. Young hearts are young, but young in names, and the young names are aging, aging, aging. And now the flames creep slowly towards the ground, caress your trembling thighs like a viper's tongue. Not much for the old dead to be dying, but the dying ones to be the young. Little boy, your magic eyes are glowing upon your baby sister's curls and smiles. You see nothing but her beauty, and unknowing, something watches. Blood flows upon the tiles. May your teeth grind to mulch when the flames roast your testicles like chestnuts upon a London street. May you be sodomized by the vilest sodomites roaming Satan's corridors with hooves upon their feet. In your hell, eternity is too short a time, and all the time you have is worth having, while here on earth you leave behind your crime of the undead. They are left to go on living. Thanks.
Thank you, Dole. Next on the open mic, we have Sushi. You ready?
That's not tough to follow, is it? Right, so I have two if this one goes well, and if you guys have the patience, I'll read another. This one's from like 5 years ago, and whoa. Sometimes I wonder if you think I don't miss you, and if I even feel the loss of what we had. I wish I could tell you that I do. That every time I think of you, I feel lonely and sad. But I'm afraid if I did, you'd have a hard time believing we're over. We were dragging a corpse anyway. What we had was so hard to end. It was only pain in the end, but you held on when I was fighting to let go. Not because I didn't want what we could have been, but because I couldn't take another second of what we had become. I wish I could tell you because it would be easy to say, but the consequences is us negating the parting of our ways. I see you checking my stories every other day. I see your face from time to time in your friends' posts, but I see you less and less, and that's by design. I'm moving on every day. Day by piece, I'm in back my mind. This is a cheeky question, and everyone has read one poem. Can I do another?
It's short.
Yeah. I vote yes.
We have votes.
Right. Generally one, but. Do another one. Yeah.
I appreciate it. This is a short. It's a shortish. This is from my last trip to Edinburgh, and I felt something which I had felt a long time ago, and I felt it again, so I wrote about it. This one's called Alien. I walk alone in a city I don't know, with a heavy backpack and a pain in my lower back, and not much else to show. I borrow the air they breathe, the people of this place. They're not mine, I'm not there, we just occupy the same space. I'm different, I'm foreign, I look, dress, and smell different. These eyes follow me mostly inquisitively, but sometimes with a joy that is salient. Just seeing someone as exotic as they are to me, something new to learn from an interaction, something pretty to see. I walk a little lighter when an old lady on the street smiles at me and says, "Have a nice day, honey." My back hurts a little less, my day is a little more sunny. I'm a little less alien, a little more in place. For humans aren't so different, it just takes a couple of days to realize, to actualize, to naturalize, to see beyond the appearances and hangovers of our history. We all desire the same things. Our hearts have the same wants. To be seen, to belong, and for this lower back pain to be gone.
Thanks, Sushi. That was great. Next up is Roxanne.
I swear, it wasn't absolutely meant to be, but if you combine the themes of sushis, you have my text. This is a bittersweet letting go to Scotland. It's called Peace Process, and I wrote it yesterday. Another day ends. Wrapped in a plaid, I sink in the couch while the tea is once again getting cold. YouTube swings between warrior / love / breakup themes. Overwhelmed by emotions, eyes closed. Sleep could be closed if it weren't for pending thoughts and urge to write. Can you forgive me for finally letting you go? Our memories, the way you saved my life, stayed tattooed in each of my heart cells. Of course, I miss you, and I'll miss you for long. Thing is, I eventually grew from the past years. Let's not relist everything, I beg you. Better focus on the present, in this place I call home. The delight of a local Murphy's, the nocturne cathedral glow, trusting more and more people, ticking life boxes, endless hugs wherever I go, bumping into friendly faces, twirls and steps along jazz music, feeling my wings spread wide, maintaining healthy boundaries, a clear and intense feeling of belonging. Early morning walks to work while everybody is asleep. My brain is wiring back to a more constant joy that should have never left. So grateful for this reformed freedom, but no one told me about the exhaustion inherent to it. No one told me about the vulnerability when bad habits break, how they leave you defenseless until you stand again. But they did tell me I'd make it through. They did say I am strong. She told me I am safe, sane to be around, and that my inner child needs that from me too. You are the spark to ignite future fires, lights in my eyes, warmth in my backbone. I won't forget it. I'm simply not coming back. Not anytime soon again. Anyway. Wars are raging in the world. We remember past heroes who gave their lives. For now, my goal is securing my recent peace. I'm staying ready for whatever comes next. Thank you.
Thank you, Roxanne. Okay, we might go back to Zoom for a second and to Mona Lynch. Mona, is there?
Thank you. Okay. This poem was inspired when I read about Charles Baudelaire, the poet, who, apart from writing poetry, strolled around the streets of Paris with his peers, observing society. For that, he was called a flaneur. Years later, ladies decided to do the same, and they were called a flaneuse. So I decided to become a flaneuse in Cork City and write a little poem. It's called Flaneuse. What a blast of life I miss by sleeping in the suburbs. I am blasted now by March wind and sleeting rain as I walk over Patrick's Bridge, stroll down Pana, avoiding scurrying shoppers, a sea of uniformed students streaming down from private schools on the hill. Blessed by Father Matthew, I pass under his outstretched, sober hand. There the complacency ends as I observe the leap into modernity that my city has taken. Uplifting is Beth Galley's widening of the footpaths, recovering space from the street for citizens. Lighting shaped like ship's rigging, reminding us of the street's watery past. The strains of a busking violinist playing Shostakovich's Gadfly at odds with the damp greyness of the day. I catch sight of the gleaming opera lane. Regret overtakes me. Renaming Faulkner's Lane for this? Opera, where neither a legata nor aria reign. Neither do they pay tribute to Riggs Faulkner, once a familiar face at the door of his bank. Instead, towering glass boxes filled with fast fashion are the latest Apple devices. Saddened by sodden sleeping bags in doorways, I move on, carried by the crowd, eyes downcast before their feet.
Thank you, Mona. Next up, we have Cédric Bicon.
This piece was written under the sign of anger. It was a strange path between a question asked by a stranger about what's the color of anger, and I replied that it was chameleon red with a taste of iron and chili peppers. Somebody here also told me to write about my emotions more, far more, and I thank that person very much for that. And to finish, that was very much the last nail in that coffin. So I spent some time with my mom lately, and she basically taught me to forgive and made me realize that I've been out of as a reflex for survival, in a way, I've been feeding the wrong beast for a very long time. So I thought I was in a good place, and I realized I was just starting the journey. So this piece is called Raging Bull. Have you ever been so angry that everything goes white? There's a taste you have in your mouth when you are there. The blood has rushed to your head. You can feel your heart pumping it. Words are just blurred sounds. And though you are not bleeding, everything tastes of iron. More red and glow as fury takes hold, becomes a guide. Yellow, sparks are ready to fly. With the next beat, stronger with every added prejudice. Your horns need quenching. Blood will do if the river under the bridges has gone dry. Let me beat your heat. Put out your fires with kindness. I want to be the flowery meadow to this raging bull. See the reds and the whites, the yellows. Trample all you need, roar, scream. I am the earth. I am lush. I am green. You will be back to yourself. Back to me. Your turmoil cannot follow you. This bug will steal your eyes. With every thump, every stomp, the overfed beast reclaimed, the death of you drained until all you can do is cry. Bring me your reins. Rest your head feed my soul. Your storm is gone.
Thank you, Cedric. That was very powerful. Next up, we have Sue Blue.
Thanks. Well, that was something to follow. Well, I didn't quite know what to do for tonight. And I was going through my poems, and I looked at this piece, and I said, one day, very soon, I'll have to adapt it to the next person, and I knew exactly who that was going to be. Mary O'Connell, this is to you. Last time I visited her, we spoke everything that was needed to be spoken between us. And I'm actually really glad that she was able to let go, because that was the only way for her, and she knew it. So this is for her and for us. Death of a loved one. The house is wrapped up in clouds, heavy with tears like our hearts. We're sitting inside in silence, our grieving envelops our souls. We've come together in sadness to share the pain of your loss. You're missing within our circle. We cry and remember your love. You've been so witty and wise, your tales and poems so moving, made us laugh or brought us to tears. Your kindness and spirit we miss. So still, your body is empty, your tender voice is gone, your eyes have closed forever, your breathing is all done. We're shaken with grief as we stand in mourning and disbelief. And even though hard to face, you're leaving this vast empty space. The gap is sore like a wound. The void you leave just echoes, with emptiness burning and cold. And we hug each other for hold. We know that your heart's been loving. We know that your soul is light. And as we are sharing our tears, we know you will be all right. You were taken away by the angels. A feather was left on the sill. To rejoin the ocean of love, you'll be back with the birds, if you will. And although our grief is cutting like a double-sided knife, we know that your wish for your loved ones is to love and enjoy our life. So we remember your stories, your laughter that fills us with light, while holding on to each other and sharing the love you inspired. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sue, for reading that. Next on the open mic is Philip Spillane.
Sue, thank you very much for sharing that. I only just found out tonight, but I know Mary was a good friend and very, very clever person. I don't know how to describe someone like that, but she was. I'm glad I knew her. So I'm gonna say I don't know if it's appropriate, but we'll see. So I'm going to say I have a song called Magic Fungi, but I'm going to say it instead of singing it. Remember me as magic fungi, and not as a fallen ash tree. I will dance in circles like magic fungi, and not stay still like an ash tree. I will speak in poetry like magic fungi, and not speak all strange like the ash tree. I know I'm not really magic fungi. I know I am really a fallen ash tree. But in me, I feel grows magic fungi, even though from the outside, I'm the fallen ash tree. Thanks very much for listening.
Thank you, Philip. I think Mary would love the magic fungi, and she would have loved Sue's poem, and she'd have loved all the crack that's happening tonight. Yeah. So, like, a big round of applause for all the crack. We might zoom back to Zoom briefly for Massimo. Let's welcome Massimo here.
Hey, everyone, hear me okay? First off, real quick, I remember Mary as well, so thank you for letting me know, and rest in peace. So this piece is called, I heard someone say that time waits for no man. Time waits for no man. Whether you're a fast man or whether you're a slow man. Whether you're a young man or whether you're a grown man. Whether you're a woman or say you are no man, time's face is no man and won't let the quote stand. But instead of fear, I find comfort in the slogan that even though time seems to slip through my own hand, I've never known a time when my hourglass had no sand. If I try to think of a beginning or an end of time, how can it be eternal without blending with the present time? If I say there's only now and there was never time, how does that explain these memories in this head of mine? Memories are not just signs of a better time, because I remember people, places more than I remember time. Good things that happened, I hope happen every time. But as long as they have happened once, they are forever mine. Forever is a strong word, I cannot grasp it. My life's already longer than the brief time I have had it. But just to understand it, I try looking at it backward. If the only proof I have that time exists is that I've lasted. Time cannot be touched, but still I feel it as I pass it. Till I see I'm not moving past it, but I'm moving as it. Time is not the object, but the light in which it's casted. If I'm always looking through it, but I'm never looking at it. Because when I say time, most times I don't mean time. Because between time and space, there's real life in the meantime. I use measurements to cut a corner to a clean line, but even the straightest line is curvy to a keen eye. We use clocks to agree times to meet by, but their tick is too fast for heartbeats to beat by. Their tick is too slow for thought trains that speed by. Their rhythm's too rigid to live and breathe by. So whether it is less than or more than a second, a moment is more than a word for a second. A memory is more than a word for a record. Experience is first, the word for it comes second. Because I was born before time had form or a dimension, before I counted moments by their order in succession. If a rolling stone could gather moss that grows and keeps collecting, then soon it would look like hills are rolling where a stone was stepping. They say time is distance that's divided by the speed, but measurements are only tools divided by a need. If I can't control time, I ride and let it lead. Because if I'm still here, the math must be that I succeed. If time is like a small seed that's smaller than a seed, that grows into a tall tree that's taller than a tree. But when it's like a forest and it's hard for me to see, I remember that it sprouted from a garden inside me. So if I try to think of a beginning or an end of time, it can't be eternal without blending with the present time. Good things that happened, I hope happen every time. But as long as they have happened once, they are forever mine. Thank you all so much. Peace.
Thank you, Massimo. Huge appreciation here. Okay, next on the open mic, we have Isha.
So this is a poem I wrote about 5 years ago when I'd moved back to West Cork after living in London, and it was all very, like, you know, as much as I loved it, it also was quite a challenge in a way. So it's kind of resonant with your West Cork poem as well. It's called West Cork and Pagan Witchery. The pull of her warm, soft body, the whisper in my ear, it tingles and tantalizes me as I sit silent amongst a zombified mass of people pale in the gruesome blue light of their mobile world. I kind of want to scream. I hear her call me, the depths of her body inviting me back into its warm embrace. I look down at my own mobile phone and get lost in a world of likes, wishing I was as good as rich as pretty as confident as, and I snap myself out of it. I have become another robot in a world of lost souls, at least in that moment. In another moment, I am bathing in the sunlight as it hits my face, my eyes closed as I feel its warm embrace once more envelop me. I open my eyes and I am here. I am here. I dive into the cold water. It freezes me into the fullest of being alive. I am back. I am home. I am where I need to be. This space I have longed for, this space surrounds me in every way, shape, and form. It breathes out as I breathe in. The art of surrender is something I've been dabbling in, but this is a whole new level, a whole new lesson, a whole new world. This space surrounding me threatens to swallow me up in its presence. I don't know if I'm ready to be this present. Maybe it's easier to continue getting lost in a world of shoulds, A to P to C to D to E to Z, but the alphabet comes easily backwards to me. I know there's more. I know there's more. And yet, when I'm in it, in its loving gaze, it traumatizes me. No place to hide, only hard truths and fear in this heavy, weighty, wonderful world of abundance, threatening to trigger me at any and every moment. How to not be tripped up by the pressures I've learned so well to enfold myself within. Enough. Stop this trailing lunacy, hypocrisy. Run through the fields with me barefoot like a child in the prime of its little life. Brings me back, brings us back. We are free, we are free, we are so fucking free. But maybe, I don't know if, what if they don't like it? Do I really like it? Do they like each other? Is the guy saying the tunes weirding them out? Is he weird? Time to speak, say something. I should fill this space, this silence. No, breathe, return to center. You're being ridiculous. Let it unfold. Let the universe work its mystery, its magic, its witchery. We are pagan witches dancing around the bonfire. The bodies we are in mean nothing in this moment as we connect to something bigger, something deeper, something full of the laughter and joys of being alive. Together we have brewed this perfect little circle. Now it all flows. We are flowering and frolicking to the sounds of the century. One minute it's Madonna and the next it's something else altogether. Who cares? No need for ego in this cauldron of fun and fanciful freedom. We blow like a soft wind caressing the trees, collecting stories and feelings which will last far into the future. A life's journey turns a new page, a new chapter waiting to be played out. And all thanks to this, the whisper in my ear, her sweet embrace, my sweet surrender. This is what she holds. This is what she allows. This is what she unfolds when you let her.
Yes.
Thank you, Isha. That was amazing. Next up, we have Mark O'Leary.
I think, yeah, I have quite a strong sense of the apocalyptic. And people have always had like a strong sense of the apocalyptic, I think, but it feels like there's way better scientific evidence for it now than there used to be. And I guess I wrote this poem thinking about the choice of whether to have children or not. And I often would have thought it wouldn't be fair to a child to bring them into this world. And yeah, this poem is kind of considering that question. It's called To Give Life. The child I won't have will paint watercolors in the garden, surrounded by every pigment's impetus. Well, blue flew up the river on a dragonfly's back, and the ash taught us that green with the underside of its leaves. In winter, the child I won't have will sit on a thick rug in the house we won't own, by a stove that will let the warmth out and keep the fire in, and I will bring them full bowls of pumpkin soup flavored with garlic that won't grow in the garden because the frost stopped coming when it had promised. The conversation my generation is having more and more in tiny kitchens where dinner is served on a mismatch of plates and bowls always sounds the same. Maybe someday, or I can hardly look after myself, or it wouldn't be fair. Sometimes we laugh, sometimes we could stopper the species with our sorrow. It would be weird to say we are offered Mary's choice, but with scientific foresight of the crucifixion and half her faith. But how did she not look away as his head fell, finally limp to his chest? When the crowd was gone, she watched in the moonlight the taut stillness of the collarbone she had grown from string. And then, like a grief-fed fever dream, he came back. And when she touched his cheek, it was warm. He kept saying that thing he was always saying, even as limb by limb he dissolved in her hands, and she was left with not even a grave to go to. Do not be afraid. Honestly, I doubt I can bear the crushing of my knuckles in the grip of a woman I love, let alone to see my heart born pink and beating to crawl into the jaws of God. But who am I to eat from the plate of the child I won't have their fair share of this suffering? As if the fire was only mine to be devoured by.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Next up is Adam O'Sullivan.
Oh yeah, this is my first time reading here. And it's also the first poem I've ever written, so. Okay, just a bit of context beforehand. There's a picture from the Voyager 1 spacecraft taken from Saturn, and you see a little star that's blue. That's our Earth. I recommend you look it up after I read this. I love looking at the sky. It helps me relax. Looking at all the stars and galaxies, it makes me relapse. What is out there we don't know? We don't know a lot of things, but we theorize so much. Think about other life and dimensions, so and such. Space amazes those who are interested, and that's no exception for me. We never know what we're looking at or what could be looking back at me. Another world with whole new laws and tech we never knew existed, or is that other world us? People are full of hatred and anger, fighting on the street, full of anxiety and worrying about the people they might meet. People riot and cause destruction to our home. We're so small people don't realize, because everyone's worried about problems while tears flow out of their eyes. Everyone is so panicked and scared about how our life goes. We think, this is it, this is all we have. But we never come to think, why do we worry? There's never time to relax because most of us are in a hurry. But if you look at the stars and go into thought, you will come to realize our home is just a little blue dot.
That was great. I love that. All right. Next is Cahill Holden.
Hey, are you guys? So I was struggling to decide which one to go through. So I'm going to do neither of them. I'd actually like to do one by someone else. Do you guys know Tom Hurons? He's an English poet. Beautiful. I just love this piece. It's called Sometimes a Wild God. Sometimes a wild god comes to the table. He is awkward, does not know the ways of porcelain, a fork and mustard and silver. His voice makes vinegar from wine. When the wild god arrives at the door, you will probably fear him. He reminds you of something dark that you might have dreamt, or the secret you do not wish to be shared. He will not ring the doorbell. Instead, he scrapes with his fingers, leaving blood on the paintwork. The primroses grow in circles round his feet. You do not want to let him in. You are very busy. It is late or early, and besides, you cannot look at him straight because he makes you want to cry. Your dog barks. The wild god smiles. He holds out his hand, and the dog licks his wounds, then leads him inside. The wild god stands in your kitchen. Ivy is taking over your sideboard. Mistletoe has moved into the lampshades, and wrens have begun to sing an old song in the mouth of your kettle. I haven't much, you say, and give him the worst of your food. He sits at the table, bleeding. He coughs up foxes. There are otters in his eyes. When your wife calls down, you close the door and tell her it's fine. You will not let her see the strange guest at your table. The wild god asks for whiskey. You pour a glass for him, then a glass for yourself. Three snakes are beginning to nest in your voice box. You cough. Oh, limitless space. Oh, eternal mystery. Oh, endless cycles of death and birth. Oh, miracle of life. Oh, wondrous dance of it all. You cough again, expectorate the snakes and water down the whiskey, wondering how you got so old and where all your passions went. The wild god reaches into a bag made of moles and nightingale skin. He pulls out a two-reeded pipe, raises an eyebrow, and all the birds begin to sing. The fox leaps into your eyes. Otters rush from the darkness. The snakes pour through your body. Your dog howls, and upstairs your wife both exults and weeps at once. The wild god dances with your dog. You dance with the sparrows. A white stag pulls up a stool and bellows hymns to enchantments. A pelican leaps from chair to chair. In the distance, warriors pour from their tombs. Ancient gold grows in the, like grass in the fields. Everyone dreams the words to long-forgotten songs. The hills echo and the grey stone rings with laughter and madness and pain. In the middle of the dance, the house takes off from the ground. Clouds climb in through the windows. Lightning pounds its fists on the table and the moon leans in. The wild god points to your side. You are bleeding heavily. You have been bleeding for a long time, possibly since you were born. There is a bear in the wound. Why did you leave me to die? Asked the wild god. And you say, I was busy surviving. The shops were all closed. I didn't know how. I'm sorry. Listen to them. The fox in your neck, and the snakes in your arms, and the wren, and the sparrow, and the deer, the great unnameable beasts in your liver, and your kidneys, and your heart. There is a symphony of howling, a cacophony of dissent. The wild god nods his head, and you wake on the floor, holding a knife, a bottle, and a handful of black fur. Your dog is asleep on the table. Your wife is stirring far above. Your cheeks are wet with tears. Your mouth aches from laughter or shouting. A black bear is sitting by the fire. Sometimes a wild god comes to the table. He is awkward and does not know the ways of porcelain, a fork, and mustard and silver. His voice makes vinegar from wine. It brings the dead to life.
Thank you, Carl. Very well read.
We might fire back to Zoom for a second and go to Mags Creedon.
Hello, Mags.
Hello.
Unmute.
You're on mute, Mags. Unmute yourself there.
Yes, yeah, sorry about that. I unsigned because of... Hi. Thanks, everybody. It's a lovely night. And thanks for the nice messages from people as well. I didn't realise about Mary until tonight. So I was going to do an ultra short poem, a very significant poem for me from a Palestinian poet that I was asked to translate and perform with. And I might do a short song, which is super short as well, like a leaving blessing for Mary at the end. So it won't take too much time. So I had the honour of being asked by Deirdre Martin to take part in a beautiful cultural tour from the Palestinian people from the Lakhia tour. And particularly loved being with the children, the little children of Bethlehem. And they were almost biblical looking. They were so beautiful. They really loved the trad music and they were so excited by it. So I spent several hours in their company backstage. And it's quite tough to think what's happening to them. Some of my best, closest friends are also from Israel. And also I worked in Baghdad. So I had written a Baghdad lullaby based on the memory of hearing mothers singing to their children who were dying in Baghdad. So when I was asked to translate this very short poem by Abu al-Qasim al-Shadi, I put it to music and they asked me to do this very short piece of music. But the children loved it and they were playing with my guitar that night. So I feel for them at the moment. So I'll stop talking now. Can you hear me? One day a people find desire to live, then fate will land.
We can.
Things will break and fall. Can you not hear?
You can. Maybe can you play a bit nearer the?
Oh yeah, no bother. Sorry, it doesn't. Nobody really should play on Zoom by rights. Can you hear it at all? Okay.
Further away, it's not going to pick it up at all. Nearer the microphone.
It's not
I go down with that.
Close to the microphone. Microphones are all about proximity.
Can you hear us, John?
Yeah.
Wonder people find desire to live, then fate will answer. She begins to fall, and their chains will break and fall.
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter if you can't hear. I won't hold you.
Thanks. Do you know? I think Zoom is confused between the guitar and your voice.
No, so I understand.
Maybe yeah. If you just did a just vocal piece, we'd probably hear it better. But. It keeps cutting out.
It actually sounds like you're underwater when you're on Zoom, so I've no problem there. So this is the Will to Live by Abu Qasim Al Shadi, and it goes like: If one day a people feel fine desire to live, then fate will answer their call, and then night begins to fade, and their chains will break and fall. For those who have not been embraced by a passion for life will dissipate into thin air, for they must find the will for life. But that's for the children of the Lakhmi. I might just sing the song for Mary, or is it coming through?
Yeah, that, we can hear you now.
Mary, you know what? But Mary, Mary used to kind of have this little word with me. I'll miss her wit, I'll miss her style. She had something like Carnaby Row to bring into us. I'm coming into O'Vale since 2012, and she'd always have a very interesting wry observation and never too much of the plumas. So I'll sing the song the one night she said she did like. It's called Comfort Song. There's a channel straight from here to you, my love, if you tune into a station just above, and you listen on this frequency, my dear. If you make a choice, a voice is clear to hear. My existence is zoneless and timeless, and my voice is only audible in silence. And I will comfort you from this peaceful place. I'm watching out for you. The universe is limitless, my darling. Its boundaries are porous if you're calling. I just want you to be prosper and be happy, for this other world's just waiting on a whisper. So don't waste your heart and all these tears of pain. Just save them up for your new joy again, and I will comfort you from this peaceful place. I'm watching out for you. Slán leats, Máire.
Thanks, Mags. Okay, we have about 15 minutes left and 7 poets, so we're going to just... next up is Chris Sanan.
Okay, I just wrote this, and this is like just my love for Cork. Cork, symphony of home. In Cork, I first felt the warmth of home, a stranger's land, yet familiar in its tone. Love at first sight, true and bold. My heart forever in Cork's gentle hold. A city, a canvas of linguistic art. Each language a masterpiece playing its part. Laughter echoes in the streets, light and dark. Even the tipsy find a way, a homeward mark. Dublin may claim the title of the capital's crown, but Cork, oh Cork, you were you wear the cultural crown, the cultural gown, a melting pot of talent under island skies. Musician, poet, artist, their spirit never dies. I felt like home the very moment I arrived here, and not once I felt like I was black. I know, strange, right? The city, a heaven of diversity and flair, and its embrace, I shed every care. Here, I'm not just Chris, the black guy. Rather, Chris, the guy with odd colored shoes, earrings that gleam, and of course, a killer fashion scene. And Cork, my identity found its truest form, accepted, celebrated, far from the norm. It's not just a place, but a feeling so grand. And Cork and me, this welcoming land. So here's to you, Cork, my love, my home, and your streets and your alleys, I'm free to roam. Today, tomorrow, forever, and your embrace. And Cork, I found my heart's resting place.
Amazing. Thank you, Chris. Next up is May.
Yeah, so we're short for time. Long story short, we're stuck between three poems. Do you pick A, B, or C?
A
it is. Just if my phone would load. just letting my phone load now in 2 seconds. This poem is, I was stuck between poems, as like we all know, like we all have diverse big aspects of ourselves, and it's hard to show ourselves through like one poem, whatever, you know. Okay, well, you picked A, whoever picked A, thank you. So this is called To the Eyes of Green. So it's just a long story short, it's about jealousy and apology for anyone who here is jealous by nature, not offensive, okay. So to the friends stolen by lovers, I'm sorry it wasn't you, it was me. Well, partly, for not knowing how to say no because I was protecting their ego, nurturing their jealousy by validating their insecurities. I tried sometimes to speak up, didn't work. I was thrown accusations as their biases and distrust shown evidently on their faces. What a dirty, dirty thing if we've shared history romantically, as if I'm stained and pure, unable to see someone platonically. Oh, this disease that spreads in me to the lovers of eyes of green. Oh, I must kiss them, every single one of them. I must ravish them, have them right now. Oh, sorry, lovers, I guess I lost control again. But you're not worried about open signs, no? You're worried it will be in silence. Afraid I'll whisper to them salaciously, seduce them deliciously, have them fill me up emotionally and mentally, substantially, outrageously. Because that's who I am, apparently, in your eyes. Hiding, lying, manipulating your poor innocent self. Who saw it coming? God damn it, you saw it coming. You saw it coming all along. So why were you with me if I was so distrustful, so deceitful? Oh, it wasn't me you didn't trust, but everyone else. Oh yeah, that definitely makes sense. The whole world is against you, but I'm the only one thrown in jail for an imagined betrayal because of your betrothal through your illusions and delusions. So let me ask you, what about you? The one who hears these voices of these accusations and crimes, how many times have you recited this history and story of cheaters? Why should I why should I place my trust in someone so brainwashed to think that monogamy is so hard, that loving one person is so hard, that being friends with a person is so hard? Why should I believe the words of someone who claims their own gender is untrustworthy? They're manipulative, conniving, and aim to be stealing other people's lovers. Why should I and those dangerous friends of mine listen to the preaching of the madman who lost his mind and cannot tell others from his own? Oh, but you'd never do that. What about your friends, though? Oh, they might try something with me? How would they feel if they heard that from you? Would they want to be your friend, knowing you accuse them of witchcraft and burn them for their heresy of your monogamy with words that burn their backs from behind? Are you sure you're really their friend, if you're not even sure they are yours? Are you sure? Oh, sorry. well, I'm sorry you have problems with your friends, but I don't. Mine are great. They consider me, and when that gets a little shaded, they hear me, understand me, and continue to be kind to me, and they respect me. They respect my feelings, my choices, and my decisions, like you. So if you're going to make me choose, don't be surprised when it isn't you.
Thank you, May. All right, next up we have Constantine.
The last poem is The Long Summer. The long summer has passed. A cold rain and wind disturb my sleep from the dreams of yesteryear. Sandal castles, the ashes of memories stretching my face. My time is running slowly. Many things remain only in poems. In every point of universes, abstract innocence, I recognize myself. The following, I mean the emigrant song. People of all the denominations come here. On the main street, crowds of people from far away, the four cardinal points, accompanied by a strange light, looking for in a coffee, drinking beer, eating salted peanuts and popcorn. Ready to save always an ice cream also, drowned by the sound of horses, ships full out at night. In front of the bean stream, there is a talk of soccer game. They sell illusions, a land of milk and honey, a song of violin music in the air. Pigeons fly high in the sky. People of Devon forever. I walk, Dallas. Is that a shirt? I walk on the river bank. Handy. I walk on the river bank, hand in hand with time, my comrade for life. I am back in my childhood, playing hand shadow games. I stop to drink a coffee and listen to classical music, The Four Seasons by Vivaldi.
Thank you, Constantine. Next up we have Dom. I think Dom.
Woo, Dom!
So this is kind of the first time I've read my poetry out loud. So keep that in mind. I wrote this one the first time I got COVID, and it's kind of when I first started getting poetry, so I suppose here it goes. All I hear is ringing, mild. It is, but it's not, is it? My lungs are filling, empty, full, empty. I can't breathe, full, empty, full. I haven't moved in decades.
my mouth decaying, unused, and dissatisfied. I try to speak, but no ears are here to listen. Waves shift around her brain. She's sitting next to me, silent. Away from everything, divided only by timber. Transparent but opaque, disapproving to the voices now lowered to a whisper. They speak of endlessly dangerous possibility of her presence, infected. I lie awake, unable to rest, although rest is all I've had. 48 hours. My hair now touching my knees. It comes in waves, crashing and freezing and melting as the minutes tick, tick, tick backwards. It's Sunday again. Somehow everything's okay. One line. The danger isn't apparent yet. Her head hurts, but she tells no soul of the possibility of attack. Like Jews hidden away in a closet, forbidden words latching to my throat as they say, stay positive. I wish it were easier to lie, yet. I sigh away the hours as they slither by, haunting. It's only been 2 days. Now up here, though barely apparent, shy. Afraid to show the true colors of her nature, aware of the consequences she must face. A threat. All she wants is to be known, but she is, her name now, a mockery by all. Buzzing, spinning. Empty, full, empty, full. Someone is listening too closely. Stay away, afraid, at a distance. Too apparent but necessary to them. For all she yearns is the warmth of the fingers to trace her face. She sighs. 5 more days. 119 hours left. Time applauds her every passing minute. You made it. Almost.
Thank you, Dom. That was amazing. Next, we have John Tynan.
Or you? Something a bit different. Deceiver. My ex calling. Forever Heather. Honey love. Get the hint. Come over. Strawberry lingerie. In the flesh. A stiff pink. Bear it all. Pillow talk. Will you be with me? Keep dreaming. Bitch, I'm two-faced. A short affair. She means business. Can you tell? Lady Danger. Bound and ruthless. Ring the alarm. Rose and slay. Big bang. Boy trouble, high drama. Men love mystery. You wouldn't get it. Velvet Teddy is sold 2016, she said. Confession time, lads. Those are all, from start to finish, lipstick names.
Fair play, John. Hey, next up is Alexandra Toth.
So when I started writing this poem, it was originally about kind of self-doubt and kind of a disappointment about myself because of a grade that I got back from like an assignment, and I pretty much sure I deserve better than that. Anyways. But then I kind of got sidetracked and started talking about other topics as well. So this poem is called Simulation. Mm. What is my worth is a question I ask myself in times of doubt. Doubts about myself, doubts about my talent, but more specifically, doubts about my intelligence. Truth be told, we live in a society where a person's intelligence is what's sought upon to be deemed worthy or successful. Is this not madness? How our talents shine but get ripped away from us within seconds, all because they're not recognized by our schools, by our government. I seek freedom. I want to be free like the wild horses roaming this earth. I want to be free like the eagles soaring through the sky. I seek freedom, but not just me, everyone. Our freedom has vanished. We live like robots, forced to learn useless information. Go to school, they say. Do well in your assignments, they say. But if you don't or can't soak in information like others, you are deemed a failure. Same with work. Wake up, do your job, go home. There is no freedom. We are robots in this simulation. Our government leaders forcing us to dwell by their rules. I want to break free, free from this simulation. I wish to be a robot no more, but this dream can never become a reality.
Thanks, Alexandra. Thank you, that was amazing. Okay, our second last performer of the evening is Rosie O'Regan.
Hey up. To the wild god. To the child I did not have. To the apocalypse. And to intelligence. Kinetic intelligence, emotional intelligence, animal intelligence, and plant intelligence. It's all out there. Yeah, I do think that. Yeah. I should have a drink after doing that, yeah. Yeah. And to Mary.
Yeah.
Body weather, Barra Peninsula. For Neve. In this silence, she brings seaweed, tells me to trace its saline sap over the skin of my face. I carry rock-drained bunches back, slip them into a hot bath of rain-yellowed wild water. Earth, sea, sky. Minerals dissolve. I lower the soft stones of my body in. Islands curve out. Grass ripples over rock. A shoreline. I breathe. Witness the pulse of my heart in the breath of my belly. One beat per second until my full swell absorbs it, conceals it for 3, 4, 5 seconds. The dips return, cyclical. Water light moves. My belly eye weeps.
Thanks very much, Rosie.
Thank you, Rosie. And next we have Antonio.
Thank you, Ben. I wasn't supposed to read tonight, but then I knew about this sad news, and I decided, yeah, to write this poem for Mary, this beautiful person, kind, that I met here. And this is for Mary, who she passed away. Fly with me, my soul. Bring me to Gaza. We will build a kingdom without tears. Fly with me, my soul, for every poem unsaid, for every woman beaten, for every word broken. Fly with me, my soul. Bring me to the heaven of the poets, where I belong. Fly with me, my soul. Without my tired body, I will become air, rain, wind. Fly with me, my soul. I will live forever in your words. I will live forever in your words. Thank you.
Bravo.